point, you can just walk out those doors with the adult supervision that's being offered back there. And the rest of you who are here, if you will turn in your Bible or in a Bible that's in front of you or whatever Bible you have to Matthew chapter 5, we're actually looking at verse 7 today. I think it says verse 6 in the bulletin, but we're looking at verse 7. And before we actually get to the text, I just want to say it is really great to be the pastor of this church, and I love this church so much. Not because we're the biggest church on the block, we're not. Not because we do everything right, we don't. But because I know that God is at work here. And I can see it in so many different ways. And just this week, I had a fellow pastor come up to me at Baker Sweets, actually, and say, "Stuart, I continue to hear good things about what's going on at Westminster." Praise God for that. I mean, that is the work of the Spirit. That is some good thing. That is something good that we can celebrate, not because of us, but because of who God is and how faithful He is to His people. So I just want to say thank you for being a part of this church and for being willing to walk by the Spirit, to listen to the Word, and to try to live out what God has called you to be and to do. It is really an honor and a privilege to be able to serve people like that. So thank you. And with that said, let me read our text for today from Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. This is the Word of God. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Even though this is just a short sentence, it is powerful because it is your word. All scripture is breathed out by you and it is profitable for us. So teach us today, correct us, rebuke us, and train us in righteousness that we will be the people that you call us to be in the Lord Jesus and by your Spirit. Amen. I hope he gets what he deserves. You ever heard anyone say that? Maybe you said it. When someone does something unthinkable, something so horrible, something so evil that you just cannot imagine showing any mercy to such a person. Vengeance. Retaliation. Retribution. Justice. Isn't there a sense in which when we are wronged, when someone does something to hurt us or hurt our family or hurt our friends, isn't there in some way, fashion, or form that kind of an attitude that sort of pops up? And we see it not just in adults, but in our children. And it's not something that they learned necessarily from us. It's just part of the sinful heart. From an early age, if you're a parent, you've seen this. You hear a scream from the other room. One of your children. And maybe, like me, you kind of roll your eyes and go, "What's going on now?" But you are a good parent. So you walk into the room. And you say, "Children, what's going on?" "He hit me." "Son or daughter, what? Did you hit your brother or sister?" "Yes." "Well, why did you do that?" "He hit me first. He started it." You've heard that before. And you've probably been there before. And that's that sense of retribution. That sense of vengeance. You hurt me, I get to hurt you back. In fact, I had a conversation with someone recently, no names, but this particular person said, well, I thought that Jesus said that you're supposed to do to others the way they do to you. And I said, no. That's not exactly what Jesus said. It's do to others as you would have them do to you. And they were like, oh, that's very different. Now, look, there is a need for true justice in the world. So don't, everything I'm about to say and everything that Jesus says here doesn't trump that. There is a sense that justice is needed in this world. But justice and vengeance, justice and retaliation, justice and retribution aren't necessarily the same things. And even when there is justice, oftentimes it needs to be tempered with mercy. And it's in our culture, our context of sinful human beings who like to have vengeance on those who harm us and our people that Jesus says, blessed are the merciful. Jesus says the merciful are blessed. Jesus says this. The merciful are blessed. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Now, if we're going to unpack this, if we're going to look at this clearly, we need to think about why is mercy something that Jesus holds up as an attribute that is good, that is blessed. And I want you to think about this. There are lots of reasons, but part of the reason God's blessing is on the merciful, part of the reason is that mercy is a major characteristic of God Himself. Mercy is a major characteristic of God Himself. In fact, this week, I was stunned. And I shared this with our leadership as we had our leadership meeting on Monday night. I was stunned, almost knocked out of my chair, so to speak, from what I read and thought about for the first time. In the book of Exodus, we see Moses talking with God. And he says, God, show me your glory. And God says, no one can see my face. No one. Because he's holy. And you guys are not holy. You can't see me. You can't experience that glory. And Moses just keeps saying, but I want to know your glory. I want to see it. And so God says, okay, you go into this cleft of a rock. And I'm going to pass by. And you get to see my backside because you can't see my face. And then God says this, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. And what I, for the first time, what struck me was when God wanted to reveal his glory to Moses and to us, the first words out of his mouth, so to speak, is mercy, grace. And yes, he is just, and he will not allow sin to go unchecked. But if you look what he says in that passage, this amazing passage that, as Chip said, gets repeated over and over and over again in the scriptures, we see he calls himself a merciful God, a gracious God, a God who is slow to anger, a God who is abounding in steadfast love, who abounds in faithfulness, who keeps his steadfast love for thousands. He forgives iniquity and transgression and sin, and he's just. Do you see the point I'm making? God wants us to see that what makes him who he is mercy and grace and love. And yes, he is just. And we should focus on the fact that he is just. And we should never forget that. But when he's talking to sinners who need mercy, he lets us know that first and foremost, this is who I am. I'm merciful. I'm gracious. I abound in love. I abound in faithfulness. And that should be some good news to us, especially when we realize how much mercy we need. Am I right? We all need that. We all need to know just how merciful God is. In fact, think about that passage from Lamentations. And maybe you've never thought about it this way. Sometimes we sing it in the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, which is a little advertisement. We're singing that song on Wednesday night. So if you really like that hymn, be here on Wednesday night. We'll sing it. But what we read in Lamentations is the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies are new every morning. And notice he doesn't just say mercy. His mercy is new every morning. His mercies, he has abundant mercy, so much that he gives more than just one mercy. It's mercies. And they are not just given out one time. They are given out new every morning. So what happened yesterday? When you woke up today, God's mercies were brand new for you. That's the kind of God we're talking about. That's the kind of God we came to worship today. Now, too often in our minds, we always think of God, we tend to think of God as this, can I say it this way, an ogre up in the sky waiting to slam us for the least little infraction. Now, I know not all of you think of God that way, but many of us struggle with that concept. I know because I've heard some of you say that. I know because in my heart there are times where I have struggled with that idea. But God is not just a just God, a God who is right and good. And we talked about this last week. He is righteous in all that he does. He is also merciful, and he wants sinners like us to hear that. The good news that God's mercies are new every morning. Now, maybe you're new to the church. Maybe you're someone who hasn't, you've heard the word mercy, of course, but you're saying, well, what do you mean? When you're talking about mercy, what do you really mean here? And so let's kind of define our terms. Let's talk about what we mean when the Bible says the word mercy. And if you look from beginning to end, if you think about what mercy is, it's basically compassion in action. Okay, mercy is compassion in action. Let me try to parse that. If you've ever watched, on the news and you see something bad happen to a group of people and you feel compassion, you feel pity, you feel something on the inside of you and you say, oh, that's horrible that that happened to that person or that family or that group of people, that's compassion. Mercy is putting feet on that feeling. Mercy is actually acting on your compassion. And that happens not only when you see people in dire straits, it also happens when you recognize that pure straight up justice or retribution or retaliation would be harmful to another person. And so you have pity. You have compassion, and mercy means that you act on that compassion. And if you think about mercy as compassion in action, then it displays itself in at least two ways. And let's look at this. Two ways that mercy displays itself. The first is this. Mercy is willingly withholding deserved punishment or penalty. Mercy is willingly withholding deserved punishment or penalty. This is the definition that many of us Christians are used to. We understand where this is coming from. We want mercy from God because we know that we have sinned, we have fallen short of God's glory, and we deserve His justice. As C. Sproul once said, I never want to pray justice for myself. I always want to ask for mercy. And we understand that. So mercy, and that is an aspect of mercy. That's a huge aspect of mercy. Willingly withholding. And this isn't, let's just all get along. You know, okay, you've done some bad things, and that's okay. That's okay. We'll just sweep it under the rug and we won't think about it. That's not mercy. That's avoiding the problem. Mercy is looking straight in the face of someone who has wronged you, who has hurt you, who has given you pain, and you say, yes, you have given me pain. Yes, you have hurt me. Yes, this is bothersome, and I don't like it, and I am going to forgive you willingly. I'm going to drop it. Not sweep it under the rug, but willingly let it go for your good. That's powerful. Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever experienced when someone you have hurt deeply says to you, I forgive you. I don't hold this against you anymore. That's amazing. That's mercy. It's that compassion in action. But there is a second way that the Bible talks about mercy that we really need to understand too. It's not just willingly withholding deserved punishment or penalty. It is also kindness and care for those in need. Kindness and care for those in need. That's why sometimes in the church you'll hear the phrase mercy ministries. What are those ministries about? Extending mercy to people who are in need. Showing kindness and care to those who are hurting, to those who maybe financially are unstable, to those who find themselves in situations that they can't get themselves out of. That also is mercy. Think about it. Many times in the Gospels, we see people who have a great need. For example, the blind man, who when Jesus is walking down the road and he hears that Jesus is walking down the road, being a blind man, he can't see him, but he cries out with a loud voice, have mercy on me, son of David. And what is he saying? Is he saying, Jesus, I want you to forgive me of my sins? No, in that moment he's saying, Jesus, heal me. Meet my need. Fight. Or think about when the Canaanite woman came to Jesus about her daughter who was oppressed by a demon. The Canaanite woman comes to Jesus and she says, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David, because my daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." Or, I think this is probably more the ultimate one, think about what Jesus told the lawyer who came to him one day and said, "So, Jesus, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus answers, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." And the lawyer said, "Hey, I did that." Well, that's kind of a prideful answer, right? And hopefully we would all see, okay, there's something wrong with that answer. But Jesus meets him right where he is, and he says, "Okay, you've answered correctly. But the man wanted to justify himself. And so he says, who is my neighbor? Who's my neighbor?" And see, he wanted to kind of weasel his way out of having to be nice, be good, be loving to certain people. And then Jesus tells the story, and if you've been in the church any number of times, you've probably heard this somewhere along the line. This man who was a Samaritan, he is coming from Jerusalem to Jericho. He falls upon robbers, and then you have various people pass him by, but then a Samaritan who comes and he helps him. He binds up his wounds. He pours oil and wine on him. He puts him on his animal. He brings him to an inn. He takes care of him. He gives 2 denarii and gives that to the innkeeper. And that's 2 days' wages from what I can understand. 2 days' wages to the innkeeper. And he says, "Take care of him. And if you need any more, send for me and I'll come back and I'll take care of it." And then Jesus asked this lawyer, "Which of these 3 people who passed by, there are 2 that passed by, 1 that helped, which one do you think proved to be a neighbor?" And the man says, "The one who showed him mercy." He didn't forgive his sins. He didn't keep justice from happen to him. He helped him in his need. And then Jesus says these amazing words, "You go and do likewise." You're asking who your neighbor is? You be the neighbor. You be the one who goes and has mercy on the people around you. You give them. When you see a person in need, help them. That's what mercy is. Mercy is both willingly withholding just deserved punishment or penalty, but it's also kindness and care that's given to someone in need. And when we think about that, with this in mind, we can see why the mercy of God is shown most clearly in Jesus. Right? If we think about those 2 terms, willingly withholding justice and giving forgiveness, and being kind and caring to those in need, we can see most clearly how that plays out in Jesus. Because think about this. If you're a sinner, and you are, just like I am, what do you really deserve from God? See, we tend to think that we deserve a lot from God. But ultimately, if we're honest with ourselves, if we're honest with one another, if we are honest with what the Scriptures say, what we really deserve is damnation. What we really deserve is hell. Now that's hard for most of us to swallow, but that is what we deserve. And yet, at the cross of Christ, God willingly withheld the just sentence against you and me by putting that just sentence on Jesus. He substituted for us. He took our place. And all the curse that God had against sin, He placed it on Jesus at the cross. Now we do not have to bear the full brunt of that curse ever again. That is mercy. But it's also mercy in the sense of kindness and care. Because God knows what we're like. He knows that we are but dust. He knows that, honestly, we can't help ourselves. We're selfish and self-centered, and yes, that is against His law, but it's like we can't, even when we fight this, we end up doing those very things that we know are wrong. And God knows that. And He is kind. And He is compassionate. And He is merciful. And how do we know that? Because He sent His Son to take our place, not only to take the penalty, but to remove us from the mastery of sin over us. We were in a pit, and we could not get out. And Jesus goes into the pit and takes the punishment for us and then lifts us up out of the pit so that we can live for Him. That's mercy. That's kindness and care from our God. And no wonder when we talk about Jesus, when we talk about the gospel, we see mercy being thrown out all the time in the New Testament. Because God is a merciful God. And none of us deserve that kind of mercy. Now, there are some of us who know this kind of mercy. We've experienced it. We've felt it. We've known it from the Scriptures. We have known that God is merciful to us. And we say, praise God that He is merciful to me. I lean. I rest in His mercy. But Jesus goes a little bit further than just saying, enjoy the mercy. He wants us to enjoy it, all right? But He goes further than that. When we've been given that kind of mercy, there's an expectation that we will show mercy to others. In fact, Jesus Himself tells His enemies when He's here on earth, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Because I came to call the righteous. Sorry, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. So learn what this means, folks. God desires mercy. He desires us to be merciful to other people. Why? Because He is merciful to us. And that leads us to this next point that we need to consider considerably. You see, Jesus in this text, in Matthew 5:7, Jesus promises. He promises that the merciful will receive mercy. Jesus promises that the merciful will receive mercy. And I really think that Jesus is simply echoing what He sees in the Old Testament in passages like 2 Samuel 22 and Psalm 18 when it says, with the merciful, you, God, show yourself to be merciful. Mercy begats mercy, in other words. Now, this week, I've had a lot of fun thinking through this passage. Because there are some pastors and theologians and Bible scholars who get wrapped around the axle on this verse. And I understand why. Because maybe you're sitting there thinking, wait a second. Is Stuart saying that all I have to do is be merciful to other people and then God will be merciful to me? Kind of a tit for tat? You know, if I do this work of being merciful to other people, then God will look down and he'll say, ooh, look at Stuart, he's being merciful. I'll have mercy on him now, where I wouldn't have otherwise. And maybe you're thinking that way. And many of the people that I read this week were thinking that same way. And they did everything they could to try to keep us from thinking that way. In fact, some of them went so far, that I closed the book and I said, look, the way you're explaining this, because yes, I talk to my books, the way you're explaining this, Jesus should have said, blessed are those who have been shown mercy, for they will show mercy. You see what I'm saying? Because a lot of times, what these guys are doing, they'll say, look, you can't show mercy unless God shows you mercy first. And so, it's only those who have been shown the mercy of God who are going to be merciful. Therefore, what Jesus is saying is, the only way you can be merciful is if God has mercy on you first. But that's not really what Jesus says, is it? It's not. Jesus doesn't say, blessed are those who have been shown mercy, for they will be merciful. He says, blessed are those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. So what do we do with that? Well, first of all, we need to understand that this does not mean that our acts of mercy are a type of work that earns God's mercy. Okay? Mercy, showing mercy, is not a work that earns God's mercy. In fact, if you have that in your mind, get it out, because it is a wrong view. I mean, think about it. Mercy can never be earned. If it's earned, it's not mercy. It's just deserts. Mercy can never be something that we demand from God as due payment. We could never stand before our God or kneel before our God or do anything before God and say, you owe me mercy. Because I was merciful to other people. You see what I'm saying? It can't be that, because that blows up the whole idea of mercy. Mercy can only be given freely, as Paul talks about in Romans 9 when he's repeating what God says, actually, in that same passage that I referred to earlier in Exodus. He says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then it depends not on human will, it depends not on exertion, but on God who has mercy. So we cannot get it in our minds that God owes us mercy. And if that's the way you're reading this passage, stop it. Okay? Just stop it. Because that's wrong. This isn't tit for tat. I mean, if Jesus had said, blessed are merciful, for they shall receive justice, you would have a point. But what he says is, blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. And the best way I know to think about what Jesus is trying to say is this. Mercy is not something to be rested in as if it was satisfaction for sin, as if it was a cause of God's forgiveness, as if it was a cause for mercy. Us showing mercy to people cannot be something that we say, I'm going to get this from God. But none of us can expect God to be merciful to us if we're not merciful? And that's just the facts. It's similar to repentance. Repentance isn't a work that you do that somehow earns God's favor. No, that can only be forgiven in the love of God and through Jesus. But if you never repent of your sins, you have no right to say, God has forgiven me. Because the scriptures show that repentance is a necessary part of our salvation. Again, it's not a work. It's not something to earn God's favor. It is simply something that will come if you truly are His. And that's the same way with mercy. And so let me say it to you this way. Those who are merciful can have a confident expectation that they will receive mercy because of Jesus' promise. If you find in your heart that you see mercy coming in times when you wouldn't think you would be merciful, that's a good sign that God is at work in you. And if God is at work in you in that way, you can have a confident expectation that you will receive mercy from God, not because you've earned, but because of Jesus' promise. In other words, think about it this way. This is a promise to encourage Christians, to encourage kingdom citizens who are out there showing mercy to people who don't deserve it and are being ridiculed by the world because they're saying, why are you wasting your time doing that? You should be getting retribution for what happened to you. You should be demanding your rights and saying, that guy, that lady, they need punishment for what they did to me. That's what you should be doing. Isn't that what the world's clarion call is? And what Jesus is doing is he's speaking a word of encouragement to those who are trying to live out the gospel of grace and mercy and show mercy to other people. And he's saying, no, don't listen to them. It's only those who show mercy who will receive mercy. And that's good news for you, my people. See, as I was talking to Adonna earlier, I had a conversation recently where someone said, you know, Stuart, we really appreciate you as a pastor because, you know, you're not the type of pastor who always wants to make us feel good. You tell it like it is. And at first, I got real encouragement from that. But later on, I started asking myself a question. But is there encouragement? Because these statements of Jesus, they should be encouraging. He's saying, you're blessed if this is true about you. And so it should be an encouragement to us. The only reason that these words aren't encouragement to us is if we're not living as a kingdom citizen. But if you're seeking to live as a kingdom citizen, these words should be water to a thirsty soul. It should be a big, juicy steak. And yes, I know we're 10 minutes from 12, but food analogies are awesome. It should be something that you just glory in because you know, wow, thank you, Jesus, that you see what's going on in me and you haven't left me alone. You see that I'm poor in spirit. And I'm so thankful that you bless me in that. You see that I mourn, and you haven't left me alone in that. Thank you. You see that I am meek. And while the world around me is so arrogant, I thank you that you say that I'm the one that will inherit the earth. You see that I'm hungry and I'm thirsty for righteousness. And you promise you're going to fill me. You're going to satisfy me. Thank you for this. And this should be the same way. We're people who say, I want to show mercy. I want to show forgiveness. I want to show care and concern to people who are in need. That's who I am because that's who God made me. And even if the whole world around me doesn't want to do that, I want to be there. And it should speak a word of encouragement to us. So, folks, if this is a promise, those who are merciful can have a confident expectation that they will receive mercy, not because they deserve it, but because of Jesus' promise. You see the difference? And yet those who lack mercy, those who lack showing mercy, should not presume they will receive mercy from God. And that's the hard side of this verse. Those who lack mercy should not presume they will receive mercy from God. There was a time in Peter's life, Peter the apostle, Peter the disciple, where he came up to Jesus and he said, "Hey Jesus, how many times should I forgive someone who sins against me?" I'm thinking 7 times. I'm thinking that's a pretty high number. What do you think, Jesus? And Jesus turns to Peter and he says, "Not 7 times, Peter, but 77 times. Or some translations say 70 times 7. Now, it doesn't matter what the math is. What he's saying is, "Peter, you're aiming too low when it comes to mercy. Way too low." And then he goes on to tell the story about a man who wanted to settle accounts with those who were in debt with him. And the one man he brings before him owes him millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. And this man falls down on his knees and he cries out, "Please have mercy on me." And the man has pity and compassion on him, and he has mercy. And he forgives him the entire debt. Millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. Just like that, he says, "It's forgiven." Now, you would think that that man would leave rejoicing. But he left the first man's presence, and he went and found a third man who owed him money, about 100 days worth of wages, thousands of dollars. Still a substantial amount, but not as much as he had been forgiven. And he took the man by the throat and he shook him and he said, "Pay me what you owe me now." And that third man got on his knees and he cried out in the same way, "Have mercy on me, and I'll pay you back." And the second man said, "Not a chance." And he threw him in jail. Do you see why Jesus says it's the merciful who will receive mercy? God is merciful. God shows mercy to all kinds of people. But at the end of that passage, Jesus says very clearly, that the first man heard about what happened, and he took that second man and he threw him in prison. And he said, "Because you spurned my mercy that I offered to you, because you did this, you're not going to get out of jail until you pay the last penny." And it was impossible for him to do that. And then Jesus ends that story with these words, "So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." This is serious business. Mercy, showing mercy to other people, is serious business. And if you don't show mercy to other people, you're showing that you really aren't a citizen of the kingdom. And if that's true for you today, don't let the way that this service looks, the way you're dressed, the way people have seen you, don't let that get in your way of saying, "I need to repent today because I am not a merciful person. And I need the mercy of God. Throw myself on His mercy in Christ. And I want Him to make me a new person. I want Him to make me merciful." If that's true for you, I pray that you will do that today. If you are a person who has seen God show you great mercy and you have seen your own heart being filled with compassion and mercy, but it just needs to be fanned into flame, then let today be one of those days that you see the Holy Spirit fan that flame into flame and you show mercy to even more people. That you're gracious, that you're compassionate, that you're slow to anger, that you abound in steadfast love, because that's who God is to you. So folks, as we continue to ask for the mercy of God to be shown us, and we do, let's also ask Him to make us more merciful to others. Let's pray. Father, please work in my heart and in the hearts of every person here that wherever we are, whatever's going on in our lives, that you would make us to be merciful people, that we would be those who willingly withhold punishment, vengeance, retribution, so that we can show the mercy that we've been shown in Christ. And cause us to be those who are kind and compassionate and caring to other people. Those who are in need, because we have been in need and you have graciously given us everything we need in the Lord Jesus. And would you produce in us real compassion and mercy and grow us up in that more and more. For your glory, for our good, and for the good of everyone around us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.